I am so proud of you because I did not know it was going to snow. Did you? Okay, so I set my alarm early on Tuesdays for obvious reasons because you never know what the weather's going to be like. So I was awake about a little after five, and I kept thinking, I should get up, but it's so nice and warm here. And I had my Hello Kitty jammies on, and I hate to take those off. You think I'm kidding? Oh, God, and they're cute. They're hot pink and red and black. Oh, I love them. And I didn't want to take them off. I just wanted to stay in bed. But I came, and I'm glad I did, because I get to see all of you, and you are all so brave. So we're running about 10 minutes behind, so don't get too excited here at the end. But if you do need to get onto your job or something, I totally understand. Well, Max Lucado wrote this. See if this describes you today. Paraphrase of Psalm 23. I am my own shepherd. I am always in need. I stumble from mall to mall and from shrink to shrink. You know? Okay. Seeking relief and never finding it. I creep through the valley of the shadow of death and fall apart. I fear everything. From my own personal financial situation to the country's economic situation to terrorism, and I'm starting to act like my mother. I go to weekly staff meetings and I'm surrounded by enemies. I go home and even the dog scowls at me. I anoint my headache with extra strength Tylenol. My wine or my antidepressant runneth over. Surely misery and misfortune will follow me, and I will live in self-doubt for the rest of my lonely life. Yay! Yikes, huh? Well, if that's you today, I think you need a shepherd, right? We need a shepherd. If you can't control your moods, if your relationships are all messed up, do you really think you're doing it the right way? Do you really think this self-reliance thing works? Probably not. Proud rather than God-reliant and humble. Well, last week we talked about being a peacemaker rather than a troublemaker. And peace in our life starts with peace in our hearts and having the right relationship with God. And today, we're going to talk about who we're living for, and let's get the outline up, Sheila. Thank you. Sheila's helping me today because Donna is home with a migraine headache. I know. So living for self, living for the devil, and living for God. Who are you living for today is the question. Let's jot that down. It's kind of fun going so slow, isn't it? We've never done this before. We've never gone this slow in Bible study, just verse by verse almost per day. James has been talking about, remember in verse 4, let's make sure your Bible's open to James 4. Let's go back to last week and we were talking about the world in verse 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Pretty clear there. If we're a friend of the world, we're an enemy of God. And verse 5, picking up on our lesson today, or do you think that Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? So James has been talking about friendship of the world there in verse 4. The world system is the enemy of God. In verse 5, he tells us about the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely. This is the Holy Spirit, and it is in direct conflict with our sinful nature. All of us, because of the fall, have you guys been watching the Bible on Sunday night? So you saw the fall last week, you know, Adam and Eve's sin in the garden. Because of that, we all have a sinful nature. And it is so funny how people will argue with me about that. And they say, but babies are so innocent and so sweet. In fact, my daughter-in-law had a real wake-up call with this one. Someone told her, your baby looks just like an angel. And I said under my breath, just wait about a year. And you should see that little girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see this in nature in even an 18-month-old, right? I mean, you really see that. No. No. They want their own way. That's our sin nature. That is our sin nature, our flesh. That's what we are apart from God. It's human understanding, human perspectives, human effort, anything that is hostile to God's plan, that's our sin nature. Listen to this. When we isolate ourselves from God, we get energized by our own evil desires. And we will be guided by perceptions, listen, ladies, that distort God's plan for us and also what his nature is. So we start thinking that God is who he's not, and we start thinking different thoughts about his will for us. When you isolate yourself from God, those are the things that are going to start happening to you. When we become believers, we're not completely set free from that sinful nature until we get to sanctification, which I love. That's what I love about the Nazarene Church. That's why I wanted to come to the Nazarene Church, because of that doctrine, that you can be freed from that old sin nature. It is a second act that happens to us. And we'll talk more about that in James, but today about this sin nature. So we have this sin nature that's fighting with the Holy Spirit, basically. But God gives us that Holy Spirit, that incredible power. We have that power in us. In Ephesians, it says, just like that power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, that's in all of us. Wow. We have an incredible source of power to overcome our flesh or sinful nature. In Galatians 5:17, I think you looked at this in your lesson. Hopefully you did. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, obviously, and the spirit is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other. The Holy Spirit jealously longs for our faithfulness and our love, our first point to ponder. A spiritually mature woman allows the Holy Spirit to control her sin nature. She will have victory over her sin nature. A spiritually mature woman allows the Holy Spirit to control her sinful nature. When we live according to the Spirit, our desires and motivations become shaped by him, and then we have his power to do what is truly good. Probably a lot of you became believers when you were younger. I was an adult. I'd already had my kids. And so I remember these steps so clearly of struggling with my sin nature. And I remember the clearest picture to me of those days. Barry used to work for Lockheed Corporation. And every year, because he was in sales, if he got to a certain level, they'd send us on these amazing trips. I'm sure they don't do that anymore, but they did back then, and we were going to Hong Kong. So there was a banquet, and I bought a winter white suit. I thought, I'll be able to use that forever. But in the store was this beautiful scarf. I remember it well. And it sparkled, and it laid like right on top of that suit. Do you guys remember that style, like around in the 80s, you know, it just kind of laid on top. It was just gorgeous. It cost almost as much as the suit, the scarf did. I mean, you know, it was all hand done. And I wanted that thing. I really wanted that scarf. So I bought the scarf, bought the suit, got home, looked at it some more. I thought, oh, I'll put it on. I just had this little feeling in my spirit that said, you shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have bought that, it's too expensive, didn't need it, it's a little outrageous, and you're showing off. So I put that suit on, I put that scarf on, and seriously, I felt like almost it got hot, like I got to get this back to the store. And I'm telling you, I hightailed it back to that store, struggling with my flesh the whole time. I want that scarf, and I want it now. But that is, God said, no, you don't need that. And then you know what he told me? I want you to take that money you spent on that scarf and give it to the church. Really? Wow. Okay. Well, I did it. And that was like my first big victory over my flesh, you know? And that felt so good. That was the Holy Spirit telling me, you don't need to do that. You don't need to look flashy. I'm flashy enough for everybody there. Just let me shine. And I could not believe how God used me on that trip so many times. That is a whole nother story. A whole nother story. Okay. How might you be struggling with your own desires? Desires to have your own way, in your own time, to get what you want when you want it. Have you asked God to help you overcome your flesh, your sinful nature? All right, second, in verses 6 and 7, we're going to talk about living for the devil. I hope you're not doing that. Let's look at those verses up close and personal. But he gives us more grace. Don't you love that? This is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. So, last week we talked about the world, and just now we talked about the flesh, and now it's the devil. The world is in conflict with the Father. The flesh fights against the Holy Spirit. And I think I've got a slide of this. Yeah. And the devil opposes the Son of God. So those are the fights. Isn't that interesting? The world with the Father, the flesh with the Holy Spirit, and the devil with the Son of God. God opposes pride. And every single one of us struggles with it. Pride is Satan's sin. Did you know that? That's what caused him to fall. And it's Satan's favorite tool to use against us. God wants us to be humble. Satan wants us to be proud. God wants us to depend on him. Satan wants us to depend on ourselves, right? Satan boosts your ego, and he wants you to sing that old Sinatra, I think it's Sinatra song, I did it my way, my way. Yes, and he whispers to us, God will never let you have what you really want, which is a lie. Pride, this is what it boils down to. You know that pride, how do you see it really rearing its ugly head? It's comparative in nature. So, like, well, at least I don't do that. Or look at the way she's dressed. Or, you know, it's always this comparison of being smarter, better, faster, whatever, richer, whatever. And we as Christians do it too. We think we're more spiritual. We think we read our Bible more. We think we're better at our lessons, whatever. That's pride too. That's spiritual pride, which Jesus says is even worse. Uh-oh. Pride, pride. Okay, so today I'm going to try something. Sherry will probably have to help me with this. I want to upload a handout on pride onto the Women of DFC site. So be looking for it there. It is probably the best thing I've ever read on pride. It is amazing. It's about 3 or 4 pages. So if you are on Facebook, go join the Women of DFC, and we'll let you in, any of you get to be in. Oh, there's a link there. Okay, so DFC website. And there's a link there. And you will find this handout there. And it is really, I'd say take one topic a day. I think there's 20 of them, 20 ways that pride manifests itself. And then it says here, God gives grace to the humble. Do you just love that word grace? And grace means he doesn't treat us as our sins deserves. You know? He does not treat us as our sins deserve. And I love that concept of grace. Then it says, submit yourself to God. Submission is a military term. Did you know that? I didn't. It means get into your proper rank. So if privates were trying to run the army, what's going to happen? We're going to have chaos, right? So, you know, the military is very organized, and boy, you have to submit to authority. So kind of keep that in mind when you think of that word submit. It's getting into your proper rank. Basically, it means that everybody has a job. And some people are the bosses and some aren't. Some people are the privates. Unconditional surrender is the only way to victory. If there is anything that you are holding back from God, there is going to be trouble. This is why uncommitted Christians are the most miserable people in the world. I'm telling you, they are. They're walking the fence. They want one foot in the world, and they want one foot in the church and Christianity. They are miserable beyond belief. I know it. I talk to them a lot. Resist the devil, and he will flee. What does that mean? How do we resist the devil? You looked up those verses on the armor of God, but what's behind those verses? And you know what? When you're really feeling attacked, put that armor on. Just, and this is how I remember it. If, because that's a pretty long passage to memorize, do that if you can. But just put it on from head to toe. So it's helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, sword of the Spirit, shield of faith, feet fitted with peace, right? So the gospel of peace. So if you go from head to toe, it's really easy to remember. Put that on, but think of the significance. You're secure in your salvation. You're secure, and you've got that offensive weapon of what? God's word, right? That's your sword. That's how you go after the devil. The rest are all to protect you. The blood of the Lamb. Isn't that cool? And the word of his testimony, that protects us against God. The Lamb's blood protects us against Satan. And people's testimonies too. Isn't that interesting? So how does that work? I think just starting to tell and share about your experiences with the Lord. Remember, your testimony is what's going on with you this week. That's your testimony. That's what is happening to you today, this week, not 50 years ago. I mean, salvation experiences are great, but what's happening now? The word of your testimony is a great tool against Satan. And then prayer and being filled by the Holy Spirit are absolutely essential. Our second point to ponder, a spiritually mature woman resists the devil by submitting to God and then finding grace. A spiritually mature woman resists the devil by submitting to God and finds grace. One time, a long time ago, Martin Luther, who really revolutionized, you know, Christianity, took a huge turn because he was in the Catholic Church. And anyway, he is an amazing man to study. But he said, one time someone asked him, how do you overcome the devil? This is what Martin Luther said. Well, he comes knocking at the door of my heart and asks, who lives here? And the dear Lord Jesus goes to the door and says, Martin Luther used to live here, but he's moved out. Now I live here. And the devil sees the nail prints in his hands and the pierced side, and he takes flight. That's a neat picture, isn't it? Wow. Does your life seem like you're battling something unseen? Do you know what that means to feel oppressed? Have you ever felt that way? I have. And the devil is on your tail. Would those close to you say you are a proud person? Pride is Satan's tool, ladies, in getting you off the track. And have you ever truly submitted to God? Everything. Not just the easy things, but everything. So how do we combat the world, the flesh, and the devil, and live for God? And that's the remainder of these verses. In 8 through 10, it says, come near to God, and he'll come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So we approach God through prayer. He teaches us through his word. He speaks to us through prayer and his word, right? He directs us. And he says to come near to him. But before we can come to him, we have to be cleansed. We have to wash our hands. And I think this is every day. What a lot of people who have written lots of wonderful things call this a confessional lifestyle. This is a lifestyle of just confessing once or twice a day. When you have your prayer time, to just ask God, what do I need to confess? It is amazing what he brings to your mind that maybe you didn't even think was a sin, but he knows it is. The closer you get to God, the more things there may be to confess. It says, purify your hearts. There are times, the big word out these days is detox. Have any of you guys ever done a detox? Yeah. I mean, detoxing your, you know, cleansing. Kelly, you know all about this. Detox is a big deal these days. Why don't we do a detox from sin and spend some time confessing all the things that we never, maybe have never even confessed or never even thought of as sin? They tell you it takes about 3 days, is that right, Kelly, to really clean out your system?
It really depends on
the person. Yeah, okay. But why don't we do that? Why don't we do like a fast, pray, confess, and withdraw for a time and do a detox? Grieve, mourn, and wail. Sin should cause us to grieve. I remember the first time God really convicted me of my pride. I was at a retreat, and I cried the entire weekend. I could not believe when God revealed to me what pride really looked like. It was very, very unsettling. Humble yourself, and he will lift you up. The way up is down. Humility brings honor. God in the end must win this battle. Let's stop battling with God and start living for God. Our last point, a spiritually mature woman will humble herself before God and eliminate the pride in her life. Humble yourself before God and eliminate the pride. So I was in a meeting not too long ago, and there was a person in the meeting that everything that we talked about, they brought that, whatever the subject was, they brought it back to themselves. Oh, yes, I said that, I did that. I just sat there kind of with my mouth open like, huh? Wow, that is amazing. And then God tapped me, and he says, you do the same thing. You do the same thing. Everything isn't about me or about you. And you know, when I felt like that, I always go to Psalm 51. That's my go-to verse. Memorize that, ladies. That's a great challenge. Memorize Psalm 51. When you mess up, wow, that is all the people there that you need to do. Are you living a confessional lifestyle? I hope so. Have you? And make that a part of your prayer time. That's a part of your prayer time. Just make it that every day. Have you ever humbled yourself to the point of grieving over your sin, of weeping over your sin and wailing? That kind of grief comes out on the outside. Do you readily see sins in others, but you think you're okay? Probably not. When you get to the point of true sorrow for your sin and have no other option but to give him all your problems, and you truly confess and repent, God will fill you with his Holy Spirit. Your desires, what you desire, your motivations will become his. You will know his will because you will be filled with his Spirit. It all works for the best. Go to him. Cast your cares on him. He's ready and willing. I would like you to turn to Psalm 23 in your Bible, and we're going to say it the right way this time. And the NIV is different than how I memorized it, but if you have an NIV, let's follow along with that. And this will be our closing prayer. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God, may this be the day that we truly give it all to you and follow you wholeheartedly as our great shepherd. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.